This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Thanks for listening. Here's today's message.
This is the last week of our messy series. Messy series, we've been talking about the mess in our lives and honestly how loving others in our own mess and in their mess is really difficult. So this week we're actually going to be wrapping up talking about the mess in our lives. And before I give you exactly what the mess is, maybe you can guess while I'm talking, but I want to talk first about who God is. So we're going to jump right into this day. We're going to be jumping back and forth with a couple different Bible verses because I think the whole Bible gives us a clear picture of this. So I want to start out and just share with you who I think God is. God is a perfect and clean person, perfect in all of his ways, perfectly clean in all of his ways as well. And he can have no sin around him. So I want you to imagine this for a second. I've got little kids, and maybe you've had little kids, and you definitely were a little kid at one point. So you know this. If your parent is walking around with a nice white shirt on, and they are dressed up, ready to go somewhere, and the kid, hypothetically speaking, is eating a blue sorbet, which is ice cream, but for those of you who don't like dairy, just imagine for a second what would happen is that blue raspberry sorbet comes right up next to you. I mean, I'm running away. I'm like, I'm sorry, I love you, I do, but I have to be somewhere in like 5 minutes. Because you know that the blue raspberry sorbet will get all over that shirt right now. God is perfect and clean. He can't have any of the blue raspberry. He can't have our sin on him, and he needs that because that's who he is. And I'm going to explain how, because we actually get to be next to God. But that's who he is. He's perfect and he's clean. He is also just. He's perfectly just. He's the best judge there ever is and ever will be. And because of that, we will actually one day come before him to be held to an account for what we have done, for the things in our lives, for the sin, the evil, the wrongs that we've done. Now, if you've read the Bible, you know where part of this may be going. But I wanna bring us through this today to talk to you through kind of the mess that we're in and bring us to the hope at the end of it. So my first question for you is this, is that because we can get stuck in this, is we can get stuck that God is a perfectly good God and I know I am not. So my question today though is what is the sin that you just can't shake? What is the sin, the evil thing in your life that you just can't shake? The one that keeps on coming back and rearing its ugly head, and every time you come back and you're like, I'm sorry, I did it again. And then you do it again, and you, I'm sorry, God, I did it again. And then for some reason, it just keeps coming around. This thing, it will not leave. It's the same one thing, or maybe it's multiple things for you that it just keeps on coming around. And for some of you, it's coming right into your brain. And for some of you, maybe it's not. And we're going to work through that in a second, too. Paul in the Bible, Paul is a follower of Jesus. He talks about it this way. He says he asked God to remove the thorn in his side. And a lot of people think that's talking about maybe a sin or a vice in his life. And he says it this way. There's this whole confusing section in Romans 7. He says, I do what I do not want to do, but rather the thing I hate. The thing I hate is what I actually end up doing. So if Paul, somebody close to Jesus, close to God, somebody who writes most of the second half of your Bible, is struggling with sin and is stuck in it, so much so that he writes a whole chapter talking about, I do what I do not want to do. This is near to all of us, whether you have chosen to believe in God or chosen or not yet chosen to believe in God. We are all in the same boat here, that sin is still in our lives. Now, I've seen some of us this year have done some awesome things. We've taken a positive turn during this isolation, and we've made some awesome changes in our lives, put in some good routines, and have really made some strides towards likeness of God. And the rest of us, this isolation has been difficult. It's been really difficult. And maybe some things have reared their head that you kind of wished hadn't. Or maybe the sin that that you keep coming back to has reared its head more times, the one that you're stuck in. Now, maybe you're looking at me today and you're like, Mike, you know, that's great and all, but I'm actually more on the positive side. I've made some good changes. I feel like I'm in a good spot. And I want to caution us because that's a dangerous road to go down where we start going, I think I'm okay. And a lot of times we don't even say it out loud. We just kind of, our actions and our lifestyle start to say that we think we're okay. We think that we're clear of this sin thing. We think that we're no longer stuck. Well, Romans 3:23 says it this way. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For all have sinned, and we are all included in that. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's a sad but honest truth, and it's the bad news but good news that brings us together. So my question to you today is, what is your mess? How are you dirty? What is the thing that you are stuck in? What is that mess for you? Well, I want to take a moment and we're going to do a couple of these things today in you. We're going to have a couple moments of silence, which I know will feel kind of weird to some of us, sitting in silence for more than 2 seconds. We're going to try that today. It's not going to be for 15 minutes, don't worry. It's going to be for maybe a minute at a time, just a couple times. But I want to prepare you before we get to that. Because I want to ask you to take a moment and to ask God to reveal the hidden things in your life. Now, when you do this, when you ask God to do things with a right heart and with a good purpose, you got to be prepared for what's going to happen, because God is faithful and he will answer. It may not be what you want to hear, but I encourage you to do it today. So I want us to ask God to reveal the hidden things, the things that are evil in you, because sin likes to remain hidden. It likes to remain undiscovered in the hidden place, making you think that it's not a problem. That's not a problem. You can think of every excuse in the book for why it's not, but that's where sin likes to be. It's its happy place, if you will. But I want us to do that. I want us to ask God to convict you today of whatever sin is in your life. This is actually one of the works of the Holy Spirit that he does, is he convicts us. And the word convict there is actually, it is what it is. It sounds like a legal term, a term that you would hear in a courtroom, because you would, when you're convicted of a crime. It's the same kind of an idea. We're going to ask God to convict us today of what's wrong in our life, what the evil is in our life. So if you would take a moment, all eyes closed, whether you want to talk to God in this moment or not, but if you would just do that for me, close your eyes. We're going to take a moment just to talk to God, to ask him to reveal the hidden things in your life that are separating you from him. Amen. You can open your eyes back up. Would you do something for me? If you're here today, there were little nails left on your seat. They're a special kind of nail. They're a masonry nail. I didn't know they made these until I started doing a little research, so they don't have a point on the end. That was kind of designed. They're all over the seat, so if you don't have one right on your seat or they got pushed over, don't worry. You can grab one at the end. But if you can do me a favor, grab one, hold it in your hand. If you are a child, make sure that's okay with your parent, that you have a nail in your hand. If not, parents, feel free to grab those, and you can put them in whatever seat pocket you want or back in your pocket. That's fine. We've got plenty of them. So if you're at home, you can find a nail. If you listen to this later, you can find a nail and just grab it and hold it in your hand and then continue this. So that nail that was left on your seat, I want you to hold the nail, and I want you to think for a second. See, these are sins, the sins that we are asking God to convict us of today are in the nail. See, these weren't the actual nails. These are just a reminder of the nails that were used on Jesus. Now, Jesus, being the Son of God, he was sent to die a very painful death. The Romans had kind of perfected this, a style of death that caused the most pain and made it for the most amount of time. And that was hanging somebody on a cross. They would nail him. They nailed him to a cross with a nail a lot bigger than this, but a nail. And the nails, the reason that the nails held him there, the reason that he didn't just come down, is because he's listening to his Father to take our sins. So our sins are actually what hold him. And that's what kind of reminds me, when I want you to think about, is the nails are the cost of our sin, the price of our sin. And there's more to it than just that, but I want you to hold on it, and I want you to feel the weight in your hand. And as you're sitting there with the weight in your hand, and you're thinking about how God is convicting you today of whatever sin that is, to remember the price that was paid. There was a price that was paid for the sins in our lives. And I want us to remember that, because it's easy in this time, in this country, in this place, to forget. And to forget the price that is paid and that was paid. So today, I want to start with the first thing that I think helps us when we're stuck in sin. We're going to have another moment of silence right here, because we're going to take a moment to just spill the beans to God, to confess to God. And confessing is just going to be where you are sharing with him what that thing is in your life. This is a first and very important step to do when you identify that this is a wrong thing in your life. So would you do that with me today? Whether that was just like 5 minutes ago, right before you came here, maybe in the car ride, maybe with somebody in your family or somebody at your workplace, or maybe just yourself, some way that you are hurting yourself. Would you take a moment with me? Close your eyes again, everybody again. Close your eyes and just pray, talk to God, confessing to him whatever that thing or things are. Amen. And the Bible tells it this way. This is the awesome truth that we get as you hold this nail. You can, I'm going to ask you to do a couple different things with the nail during the service. If you want to put it in your pocket or in your purse or wherever you'd like to, or if you want to just hold it the whole service, that's fine too. But feel free to move it around as you need. If we confess, in 1 John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sins, he being Jesus, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you. And maybe today where you're at, you've been waiting a long time to be forgiven for whatever that thing is in your life. Maybe you're waiting for somebody else to forgive you, or maybe you're waiting for yourself to forgive you, but really the first and the biggest thing that we need is for God to forgive us. And the good news is that he's faithful and just to do that. My assistant can make his way up here, that'd be great. And I love that about Jesus, that he does that, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Now, if I take a board and I hammer a nail into it, I'm going to have my trusty assistant here. His name is Riley. If you haven't heard, he's really good at this hammering stuff, so no pressure for him. But he's going to demonstrate this. If I have him hammer a nail in, and it's going to be not a little nail, so you can see where you are. It's a nice size nail. He's going to hammer this nail into this board. If he hammers it in there, what's going to happen to it? It's going to get stuck. It's going to go in, and it's going to be in the board. We'll demonstrate in case you haven't seen a nail go in a while. Looks pretty stuck to me. Very stuck. So that's what it is. I mean, you can look at this board. Can you hold it up for him, actually? You can look at the board. It's in there, and normally with our sin, we drive it all the way through, but we're not going to do that because Pastor Ron would probably be mad if I put a big hole in the stage. We're going to try to avoid that. I'd like to continue to be working with this team. Anyways, it gets stuck in there. And the hardest part about sin is that it does that. It drives in and it gets stuck. And a lot of times we don't even notice it right away that it does that, that it kind of just sneaks in and gets stuck. But it does that. And it hurts us even though we didn't even notice. Now, the harder part, I think, is what I'm going to actually have Riley do here is I'm going to have him try and pry this nail out. And as he does, I want you to notice just how this looks and how it feels. And just think about this in your own life. As he's trying to pry this thing out, it's not easy. And if you picture this piece of wood as you, somebody else, or yourself trying to pry it out, that doesn't look like it's going to feel very good, right? If somebody's wiggling this nail in you, that doesn't feel too great. Thank you. We'll leave that right up there so you can see it. And I want you to think about that. I'm going to talk about what that means in a minute as we talk about prying the nail out and how it hurts. I want to remember that thought, and I want you to remember that image. But this next image I want you to remember as well, because what's left in the board? It's a hole. There's a hole in the board, right? Thank you, Riley. You did a great job. Can you give a round of applause for Riley? Beautiful work. It leaves a hole in the board. And the problem is that's actually really what happens. Like when you pull a sin out of your life, when you get something unstuck in your life, you pull it out, it leaves a hole. And what happens, like if I took this board and I just threw it outside and I left it there, what's going to happen to the hole? It's going to fill in with something, right? And it's not going to be something you want in there. I mean, if I left it out there, it'd probably have some things growing, crawling in there, probably maybe a mushroom growing out of it, something nasty. I mean, that's what's going to happen if you leave it there. Or maybe somebody will come along and they'll put another nail back into it because, hey, there's a nice hole. That's what happens. If we take it and you just throw this board out, if you just take yourself, you remove this sin, you take it out of your life, but you don't put anything in it, something's going to come back in it. And it's just going to sneak back in. So what is the sin? What is sin trying to fill in your life? Because that's the reality, is that sin wants to do that. It wants to fill a need in your life. It makes you think that it is. That it's filling a need or a want, and it's doing it. And it's doing it well. That's what it wants you to think. Now, some of us today want to get rid of the sin, but only because of the consequences. We want to get rid of it because we don't like the penalty. We're like, well, I kind of like my sin a little bit. Whatever the sin that you were thinking about today, I kind of like it a little. I like doing whatever that thing is a little bit. Whether, I mean, there's lists in the Bible of a million different things, of whether it's having a little bit too much to drink, or whether it's getting really angry, or whatever it ends up being, or maybe it's a sexual sin for you, or greed, or some other way that you are hurting yourself or others, something that is evil. Sometimes we think that this sin is what's going to fill us. We think it's what we want and what we need, and we want it to stay. And a lot of times we haven't even thought this through in our head, but if you think about your life, like, are you living that way? Are you living in a way that says that? Like, I want to get rid of the penalty part, but I'd like to keep my sin part. See, we buy into the lie that sin is what I need. It makes me feel good. It's a momentary release of whatever I'm dealing with. Maybe you said this one: without this sin, I would have no fun. I don't know what the excuse is for why you want to hold on to your sin, but I want to challenge you today, because this is what the lie is. It's a lie. It's not true. It's not. And you know this. I think you know this, and I think we all know this, because if you take whatever that sin is and you move it to its extreme, now in this country, it's a little bit harder to see, but we do a decent job of disguising our sin and disguising the results of it. But if you take the sins and you push them to their extreme, what happens? If you think about Cain and Abel, right? These are the first kids of the earth. Cain and Abel. Cain gets mad at his brother. Has that ever happened in your family? Cain gets mad at his brother because he does something a little better than his brother. Abel does something a little better than his brother. Has that ever happened? They get mad at each other, and instead of just getting mad, they take it to the extreme. Cain kills Abel. Spoiler alert, that happens. Death is a result. You think of another guy in the Bible, you get David. David's this guy who is called one, I mean, he has a heart after God, one that is like God. I mean, he is close to God. He is a sought-after king. He's one that's picked by God. And he chooses to get involved in a sexual sin with somebody else. And then to cover it up, what does he do? He kills her husband. Death, again. You see it over and over, whether it's a physical death or whether it's something that's dying inside of you, or something that you are causing to die in somebody else. The result of sin is both literally and in your mind and in your body and in your spirit, death. That's what it is. And if you're real with yourself, I think you would say that this sin is not really filling you. Because every time you step into a sin, it's like, you know what? Actually, to get to this, what you really want, you need to take this sin to the next step. You actually need to take it to the next step. Well, no, actually, you need to take it. And as you do that, you know that you don't feel filled. It doesn't fill. If you think about that for a second, and if you're asking the Spirit to convict you, the reality is the sin will not fill you, and it doesn't, and it's not made to. It's going to keep you wanting until it gets to its end result. A physical death and a spiritual death. In Romans 5:12, it says it this way: therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people, because all have sinned. That's the end of it. The end of sin is death. Flipping my pages the wrong way. And we know that. We know that God separates us, or we know that that's the end of it. That when we get to the end of our sin, the end of it, if we don't choose to repent and go back to God, is separation from Him. It's a spiritual separation. And it's a separation from the Creator God who madly, madly loves you. So, you've got this hole in the board, right? It's still there. It's just been chilling. Still got a hole there. What do we fill it with? What do we fill the hole with instead of this other nasty stuff? The first one we've already done actually says, call it confess. In 1 John 1:9, again, if you confess with your sins, the Lord Jesus is faithful and righteous to forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. We've done that, but get in the habit of doing that, of repenting and confessing. The second one is to fill the lies with truth. We're talking about the lies that the sin wants you to believe, that it will fill you, but instead of that, let's fill the lies with truth. And how do you do that? John 8:31-32 says it. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'm going to say it again because I don't think I have it on the screen for you. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. What is his teaching, and where do we find that? The Bible, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us through the Scripture. And what will this truth set you free from? And later in those verses, it talks about the sin. It's going to set you free from the sin. You're filling the lies with truth because you're putting the Scripture into your mind. And the best way to do that is because, I mean, it's handy dandy. We've got these little things called phones, and a lot of us are able to carry those around now, and we have them with us all the time, and so you can get to your little Bible app anytime you want to. But if you don't, for some reason, or if you want it quicker, a good tactic is to memorize the Bible. Now, some of you are looking at me, you go, memorize the Bible? That sounds hard. That's like school. I don't like school. Well, hopefully your school did teach you to memorize a little bit, but the goal of this is simply to implant it into your mind. And it is hard, but it doesn't take as long as you think. I don't know if you were able to do this or not. My kids, my 5-year-old, my 3-year-old, early on, like in March, our kids team was putting out a resource. They still are, actually. Putting out a resource, a little video for the kids to watch and to be encouraged and challenged in their faith to know Jesus. And these videos, one part of it, they had a section where they had to memorize a verse. And to test this, because I knew I was going to be talking about memorizing, I'm like, to test this, I'm going to see if my kids memorized a verse from March, see if they still remember it. So I come up to my oldest son, and I'm like, hey, do you remember that verse? I think it was Matthew 4:19. And I did the little hand signal. They do cool hand signals, which is awesome. If you need a little help with memorization, just go join our kids team. They're really good, and then you can sneakily learn it. You kind of learn it alongside with the kids. It's kind of cool. Anyways, I asked him, I'm like, hey, do you remember that verse, Matthew 4:19? And he kind of fumbles for a second, and then I show him the first hand signal, and he goes, oh, yeah, come and follow me, Jesus said, Matthew 4:19. And I was like, wait, what? That was March. You memorized that? You remember that from March? He spent maybe 30 to 60 seconds one time memorizing it, and then we just memorized. I repeated it with him, tried to do it almost daily. And if you do that, for sure, if you do it for 7 weeks, but if you do that for any length of time, it'll start to stick in your brain. And what better way to kick out a lie than to fill it with the truth? Because as you fill your brain with more truth, it doesn't have room for the lies. The lies have a much harder time sticking because there's no hole for it to stick. We've filled the hole with something good. Now, those are two things that you can do inside of yourself. There's two that I think that are good for us to do as a community that you can do with yourself, but that you need community to do. This next one's talk. You need to talk. As you choose to fight this sin, you see, as you choose to fight the sin, because we all had, you had this nail in you, right? And you were probably friends with a bunch of other people that had the same nail in them because you like to do the same thing. And as you pull that nail out and now you have no nail, you no longer have that thing in common with somebody else. And you might have lost that with that other person. And so, I'm not saying it will happen, but it might need to be that maybe you need to separate yourself from a certain group of people, a certain influence in your life. And as you do that, you may have a period of loneliness because now you've separated yourself, but I'm telling you, you got to fill it. Because if you don't, just like I know, that if you don't, you're going straight back to the thing that you were in before. That nail's going right back in. It fits nice and perfectly in there, but it's going right back in. So my challenge is to talk to somebody to help you, hold you accountable in this thing. Hold you accountable in your hardest moments. Talk. If you don't have someone, join a group here. We love our groups here. We encourage everyone to join a group here. And actually, we're doing something a little bit different for our men this year. We've got a group. It's called Every Man a Warrior. And I don't know if you've heard of this curriculum or this material before, but what I like about it is it develops skills. And as a guy, I like developing skills. I like getting stronger in different ways. And it develops skills in you to be a godly man, to be a godly father, to be a godly husband. And it helps you to do that in a group of people where you can be held accountable in a safe place. Our women's ministry here, too, also has a great group. So if you are women, don't worry. It's not called Every Man a Warrior because that doesn't make sense. But they're jumping through another set of curriculum. They're actually going to be following along in one of the groups with our sermon series this fall, which we're really excited for. Sermon series this fall, by the way, teaser alert. We're going to be going through Acts. Totally excited for that because it talks about the early church. So that's coming. We're going to be shooting out sermon guides for that. But anyways, join one of these groups. Join a couples group. Find a way to get this filled and get the need for people in the talk filled. See, James 5:16 says it this way. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I want to key in on one set of words there. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other. A lot of times we think of it like, hey, I'm going to go confess this to the pastor. Well, no, confess to each other. We're all messed up. So as you join a group, that's what it is. It's not one person coming and confessing. It's all of us being in that habit. And I'm not saying that you need to come up here and share your deepest, darkest secret either, but to have a place, a group of people that you can do that with. The last one is going to sound a little weird. because it's not normally one that you would hear in this list, but I think this is the one that once you've worked through these other things, that if you don't have this, it might erode the rest of what you've been doing. Serve. Tie into the mission of God, the mission of Jesus. If you think about who Jesus is, what he is passionate for, he is passionate for widows and orphans. That's what he says true religion is. True religion is that you would care for the widows and orphans. Serve. Serve, and that's what you're made for, to be a people that care for each other in their hard moments. And when you do that, this mission, it fills you because it's what you're made for. You are made to care for each other, to serve each other, to tie into this mission. Now, I know you still have that nail sitting around you somewhere. Maybe it's fallen under your seat. Maybe not. But the nail in your pocket is a good reminder, because if you don't step forward in these things, if you don't make a change to fill these holes, you will go back to the old thing. But I want this nail to be a reminder for you today of the cost, right? We talked about that earlier, the cost of sin. But I also want it to be a reminder of your response. See, I think you can respond in a couple different ways. I'm going to give you two of them. One, I think you can respond with guilt. You can respond today and go, wow, I took this nail. This nail is a symbol, a reminder that my sin caused Jesus' death. And it's not necessarily a lie. That's that it happened, that our sin is what caused or was required, required Jesus to respond in the way to purify us and to make us clean. But your response doesn't have to be in guilt, because that is where the devil wants you. That is where the lie wants you, to stay there in your guilt. We're not about that. Jesus is not about that today. I know we've been talking a lot about sin, and it's super easy at the end of this to go, oh, I'm so bad. I'm a terrible person. And that's not it. It's gratitude, to be grateful for the cross, to be grateful for what he has done for you. Because this is a huge gift. A huge gift that he's laid out for you. And this is a reminder today of that. It's a hard picture, but it's a good picture. I'm grateful to have a God who does that, who wants to invite you, wants you to come back to him, to accept his forgiveness. You see, Jesus took your sentence. If you imagine you're in front of a judge for a moment, about to receive the conditions of your sentence, the judge says, the sentence for this sin is death. But, sorry, that sentence was already taken care of. It's actually on somebody else. Somebody else came in and took the guilty plea, and they've already taken care of it. That sin is paid for and done. You are actually innocent, free to go. You have been set free. And my prayer for you today is that you hear that loud and true. You have been set free. What an awesome God we serve. If I can have the band start making their way back up here. If you're a believer, maybe it's time to start up a good rhythm, to restart one. Fill the lies with truth. Memorize the word. Confess to God your sins and confess to each other. Join a group. And lastly, let Jesus' mission be your mission. Serve. If you have not accepted this gift today, you're here or you're online, you're at home, or you're thinking about it later. If you have not accepted this gift yet, today is the day. Give up your dirty, messy way of life and choose to accept the gift of Jesus. Choose to accept his payment for your sin, his payment for my sin. Choose to accept it. He's sitting here with arms wide open, waiting for you to come running to him. And I encourage you to do that, to accept his gift of life, his gift of grace, and his gift of that nail on the cross for you. He did it for you because he loves you, because he wants you to be with him. I want to read a quote to end. It's a quote by John Piper. But would you just bow as I do? We're going to use this as a prayer. Father God, would you make us quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, ready to forgive as we have been forgiven, eager to make peace by being wronged if necessary, and help us not to have the last word in any kind of dispute. Give us, O God, the fruit of self-control. You said it's the fruit of the Spirit. Give us the fruit of self-denial, where our appetites for food or sex or greed control us. God, don't let them control us anymore. Please, God, release these people from their sin they're stuck in. We hate being enslaved by anything or anyone but Christ. So John Piper says, and God, I pray that you would help us to accept that gift today, the gift of your Son, that he laid it all on the cross for us, and that we can live free from this sin, free from the penalty, and free to be in a relationship with you because of Jesus. Thank you so much for that gift, and God, I pray that anyone here today that may have recommitted or made that choice, that they would have courage to share that news with someone else. God, I thank you for a chance this next week to be encouraged again, even with this life change that you've done in people's lives, to come and to be a part of a baptism service, to see how you have changed people, to hear more about your people accepting your gift. Thank you so much, God, that you are so good and you have offered us your gift of grace. God, we love you. We turn our sin over to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Visit bridgewaycommunity.org for more information and other messages.